Blog Talk Radio.
All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio. Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Nice weather. We need
good.
Good for you. It's like living in California now, right?
Yeah, sure. I wish.
You guys didn't really have a bad winter. It wasn't a bad winter out there in New Jersey, though, was it?
No, but, you know, we get a lot of rain here, I have to say. You know, when I was in Vegas, I got spoiled because every day was, you know, Groundhog Day. Sunny, blue sky, sunny, blue sky, and it just tends to rain a lot here in Jersey. But that's okay. My family's all here. I'm here. It's all good.
By the way, before I forget, that song I just played, The Crowd Goes Wild, is by Dwayne Spa. Dwayne Spa is going to be one of our guests this afternoon for some folks, morning for me, but he's going to be joining us on the show. He's a country music singer, got a lot of music, some great CDs, so he'll be joining us later. So, Laurie, we've got a packed show this morning. We've got
my buddy's coming on. My buddy,
I know.
Yeah.
Your buddy Eddie's coming on from Hoboken, Eddie. And then we got Puckerbutt Pepper Company. I love the name Puckerbutt. My butt always puckers every time I start this show. But let's go to some food news real quick, and then we'll bring on our first two guests.
Okay. Well, first I'm going to, you know, it's funny. I couldn't remember if we talked about this before. I'm like, okay, you'll throw me under the bus if I did. But for Wine of the Week, I found this article. It says wine sales in the U.S., including California vintages, reached a record high last year. Did I read that?
I don't know. Half the time I don't listen to what you read anyway, so you may
have. I know.
You
It just, I don't know, it just seems familiar, but I think because I read it other places with the article, maybe that's why I feel like I've read it over and over. So anyway, but sales of California wines accounted for 58% of the U.S. business. The Golden State shipped 250 million 9-liter cases worth $22 billion to U.S. and foreign customers.
Wow.
And the U.S. is the largest wine market in the world. Did you know that?
Yeah. Well, I know that I have something to do with that, and probably Hoboken Eddie does too, who's listening in.
And me too. It says the U.S. wine exports in 2012 hit a $1.43 billion, and 90% of the U.S. exports came from California.
Wow.
So there you go. Yep.
Yep, and I do my share, so I'm just helping out the California economy over here in San Diego.
And I'm helping them out because
I'm looking at your, what'd you say?
And I'm helping them out because it's my favorite kind of wine.
Well, there you go. I'm looking at your list of stories. I want to catch you off guard here, but you got to go to the story about beets because, you know, a few weeks ago, everyone was making fun of me with my beet pudding, my beet and sweet potato pudding. And so I'm seeing you've got a story here on my list about beets.
Okay.
So you got to tell that story because I think you said you never had beets, right?
Me?
Yeah.
I never had beets? Oh, my God, of course I had beets. I loved them.
Well, who was it that told me they never had beets? But anyway, what's the story about beets?
Oh, God, no. It's a really good feel. Oh, I was going to do the cupcake, but figures. Now I got to scroll down. Okay, here we go.
Scroll down.
Beetroot can lower blood pressure. I thought this was a great article because one of my actually favorite. The juice contained as much nitrate as 2 beetroots. Drinking a cup of beet juice can lower blood pressure, researchers say, and drinking 8 ounces cuts high blood pressure readings. Most marked after 3 to 6 hours, the effect was detectable a day later. Okay, there's one part of this that I'm not reading. I'll let you do it. Scientists say the nitrate in beetroot widens blood vessels to aid the flow. And it says that the nitrate is found naturally in soil where it is taken in by vegetables through the roots to help them grow.
And the part you don't want to read is if you drink too much beetroot, your pee-pee will turn pink. I thought you liked to read that because you like pink, so eat lots of beets, sorry, and you'll be able to pee pink.
Sunblast, help me!
So anyway, so beets are good for you. I knew it. My dad, years ago, we used to plant beets, and he used to boil them, and we used to do all kinds of things with beets. So there you go.
Yep,
so beetroot can lower your blood pressure. That's great.
Yeah. Well, but they do take a long time to boil, to get them sourced.
Yes, it does. I got a whole bunch of people lining up here on the board here, and I don't know who is who. Let me see here. I'm going to bring on our first two guests if I know which one's the punch here. Our first two guests this morning are, we've got a gentleman from Puckerbutt Pepper Company, and like I said before, I love the name, and his name is Ed Curry. And we also have our good buddy Hoboken Eddie from Hoboken, New Jersey, and Hoboken has a line of barbecue sauces, and those folks who don't know Hoboken Eddie and haven't heard him on the show before, we're always in for a treat. So let me see here. I think this is Hoboken Eddie, and I think this number is probably Mr. Ed Curry of Puckerbutt. Guys, are you there? Good morning.
Yep, this is Ed.
All right,
and I'm pretty sure you unmuted Hank Bob. What's up, fellas?
Oh, it's Hank Bob. I hit the wrong number. Hold on a second. It's Hank Bob. Hold on. We got everybody here. And Okay, let me do this the right way. Mr. Hoboken Eddie, you there?
Hello. Hello.
And Mr. Curry, are you there?
Yes, I am.
And Hank Bob, Aaron, we got you. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, guys.
Hi, guys.
Everything's lighting up like a Christmas tree. I'm trying to find out who is who. So we're going to go to Puckerbutt Peppers to start off with. Mr. Curry, first of all, the first question I have to ask you is, what made you name your the name of your company Puckerbutt? I mean, I think I know why, but you want to explain?
Well, actually, my wife was telling her friends that every time she tried some of our hot sauce, it made her butt cheeks pucker. So I said, if it doesn't make your butt pucker, it's not a Puckerbutt pepper. We looked it up online. No one had the mark, so I trademarked it right away.
Well, I've had that yeah. problem myself over time.
Yeah.
How about you? Hey, Hank, Bob, Aaron, have you ever had any Puckerbutt?
Yeah, I don't know if it's... if it was from peppers every time or if it was from really bad driving. Either way, it puckers the butt.
And, hey, Eddie, Hoboken Eddie, I'm not sure I want to know about your pucker butt.
I was going to say, please.
Am I here?
Yes, you're here.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. I'm scared of this conversation that Eddie's on.
all puckered up and no place to go.
Oh, man. So, Mr.
How
Curry,
we doing, Big Ed?
Hey, we're doing all right. How about you guys? Hey, Ed Curry. So you started Puckerbutt Pepper Company, and what I'm reading here on some of the information about your company, you actually have the world's hottest pepper, is that right?
Yeah, by Scoville heat unit, we have the highest average in the whole world. We got a pepper, the HP22B, also known as the Carolina Reaper, coming in at just shy of 1.6 million on average. So,
wow.
Yeah, that's quite a bit higher than the averages for any other pepper out there, including the current Guinness record. We've submitted it to Guinness. We're back and forth with them. Yeah.
Well, I have to ask, how do you do that? I saw on your Facebook page where you had, like, pepper plants, and they're sitting in little, like, cups. Looks like they're, like, sucking up some kind of juices or something when you're starting the peppers. How do you make a hot, I mean, not to tell any trade secrets, but how do you make a super hot pepper?
Well, I actually use breeding techniques that are about 3,500 years old. I looked them up on National Geographic back when we only had magazines, but the same techniques are available online, and I use those breeding techniques, essentially what they use to breed beans, to breed peppers together, and I truly believe that super hot peppers are one of the cures or containments for cancer, so I was trying to get certain compounds in the peppers, the nortahydrin, dihydrocapsaicins at a higher level, and I picked plants that had those and bred them with old techniques that, you know, everybody uses the newfangled stuff. Old stuff works really well, you know. So that's what I do.
Interesting. I read about that they've done a lot of studies that it does cure cancer. At least they're showing some things in the laboratories that it does. And
really promising results out there.
How the heck do you eat one that's so hot, though? I mean, is it even bearable?
Oh, well, I'm the wrong one to ask. I can eat just about anything. I've trained my body through it. The only thing I can't get through is the cramps from the capsaicin. But pretty much there isn't anything out there that I can't eat. Most of the people who try to eat these peppers, though, wind up throwing up immediately. The body just rejects them, you know. If you go to YouTube or the Facebook site, you'll pretty much see lots of videos of people expelling what they're trying to eat.
There's a marketing campaign for you. Pucker Butt Pepper Company. You eat our peppers, they'll make you throw up.
You wouldn't believe how many people buy just for that line. But, no, we make stuff out of the peppers that's actually palatable. One of the reasons I went into making hot sauces and salsas again is because everybody out there was going for hot without any flavor. And, like, you know, Hoboken Eddie there, he makes a great product. All of his products have flavors. He doesn't go for that stupid hot. But I turn around, and, you know, I make hot sauces that are palatable, that are meant to enhance your food instead of, you know, overpower it. Because I enjoy it with every single meal.
For a baby like me who can't eat really hot foods, and, you know, jalapenos is about as hot as I usually go, I just can't take the hot heat. How is that pepper you're talking about compared to a jalapeno on the scale?
So jalapeno, the hottest one that we've ever tested was just shy of 10,000 Scoville. So you're looking at, 1,500 times as hot.
How's the habanero compare?
Yeah. Habanero is the hottest. Really, the hottest one we've ever tested was just shy of 500,000. So, but a normal store habanero is around 60,000 to 70,000. So you're looking, you know, you're looking at somewhere around 250 times for one of those.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy hot. It's not the first news guy who came to see us after. One of our reports got published was from NPR. He was a little weenie. He had a sliver about the size of the quick on your fingernail, on your pinky finger. And literally he was throwing up within 30 seconds of putting it in, you know? So yeah, you got to check, but it's on YouTube. It's got like 400,000 hits. He's rolling on the floor, hallucinating from a super hot pepper. It's very funny. But,
You actually grow and breed the peppers there, but you also do make the seeds, the hot sauces, mustards, and jellies. And I was looking online too, and I see you've got, which is a really cool sounding product. You got Pucker Butt Purgatory Popcorn. I assume that's laced with all kinds of heat, right?
Oh yeah, we put hot popcorn to a new level. It's unbelievable. We just we're at the New York City Hot Sauce Expo last week, and we took, I think it was about 900 bags of literally popcorn that you can't eat more than 3 or 4 kernels at a time. And every single bag was gone by the halfway through the second day. It's amazing stuff. It's addictive. Once you start eating it, you just can't stop, you know.
Now, does Hoboken Eddie buy any of your peppers?
Well, you know.
Eddie gave me a handful. Eddie sent me a nice bag.
Yeah, I sent him. Well, see,
yeah, I got them working right now. But I use a different technique when I get my peppers hot. I walk down to the fields in my robe and I flash them. The same thing works for my tomatoes when they're green and they're not turning red because of the weather and whatnot. I go down there with a cup of coffee and my robe, and I open up my robe and flash them, and they all turn red.
Yeah, see, Larry and Aaron, this is why I kept him quiet as long as I could.
But,
you were supposed to be naked for the interview, isn't that correct?
Yeah. And then a woman had called me, and I asked her, I said, how'd she do? Did she use my technique? And she said, yeah. I said, well, how'd your tomatoes do? She goes, well, they were okay. But she said, you should see my cucumbers.
I knew we needed him for some reason.
No, I spoke to Ed going back a while, and he sent me a big handful of peppers, assorted ones. He had them. He had a big yellow envelope, and then there was about 20 or 30 little envelopes in there, and it was like he had everything like handwritten with the pencil. He goes, okay, this is this pepper, and this is this Scoville, and this is how to plant it. He gave me like the whole rundown on everything, so I have that working right now.
That's nice.
So, and then we just plowed our fields up here. The kids are still sleeping right now, but they don't know they're going to work today. I got them a special gift. I had another 30 yards of cow manure dumped off last night, so we're gonna be working the fields today. They don't know it yet, though.
I got a truck dumped off this morning too. No one knows the rest that I have for them on Monday.
So, in other words, we're not the only place where we're gonna be slinging. You know what?
Yep. we sling
my
it
neighbor,
every day.
My neighbor down the street, she's not too fond of me, but she was my neighbor next door to me. She says, "You know, Hoboken Eddie, he dumped 30 yards of cow manure. I think some of it's on your property over there." And he comes up to me and he goes, "Eddie," he goes, "you see all that cow manure there?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "I love you, Eddie." He goes, "See all the water coming down there? There's the water line." He goes, "Look at my lawn. It looks like a golf course." He's getting all the runoff, so his grass is growing nice and green. He's all happy. He's like, "Eddie, I never could imagine I would have had a lawn like this. Thank you so much."
Hey, Tucker Butt Head, now whereabouts are you located? Is it South Carolina? Is that right?
Yeah, we're in Fort Mill, South Carolina, just south of Charlotte. At the top of Valley Basin, some of the best soil in the country.
Yeah, I want to mention both of you guys, your websites. You got PuckerButtPepperCompany.com, and you also have, of course, our buddy HobokenEddies.com. And what kind of new stuff are you working on PuckerButt Ed? Any new products are coming out other than the popcorn?
Well, we're working on what's called pepper mash, which is the base for, like, salsas and hot sauces and stuff. Everything out there right now is a salted, fermented product that really is no good for your body as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, I look at things from a heart disease cancer side. So we're doing an all-natural product that people can put into their stuff that essentially, they get to control what sodium levels they want in and things like that. I'm also breeding a pepper to take over this one right now. So we're hoping to announce a new pepper next fall if all the testing comes through. That's quite a bit hotter.
Mike, really? Hotter than what you have now?
Yeah, Mike. My goal is, if I've got the cell structure figured out, I'm going to make a pepper that's 3,800,000 Scoville when I'm done with this journey. And then, I kind of envision the Homer Simpson thing with the Guatemalan insanity pepper, you know, seeing things, talking to to the spirits and stuff. But we're going to get it that hot.
What do you want, another YouTube video when you have a reporter come, instead of him throwing up, he's going to have convulsions? Is that what you're shooting for?
Well, I'm heavily insured, thank God. But we'll see what can happen. If it's NPR, yes, I'd love to see them get convulsions.
Hey, and Hoboken Eddie, I was seeing that you won some award recently for your sauces, and what was that about? I don't know if we talked about it on the radio show last time you were here. Tell everybody about the award you won.
Yeah, I didn't even know it. Someone called me up and said, "Eddie, congratulations." I was like, "For what?" And they're like, "You took all these Golden Chili Awards at the Chili Pepper Magazine Festival," and I just got them in the mail a couple weeks ago. And I laugh because I took first place in my barbecue. Well, I took like first place in about five different categories for different sauces. But this one. But the funny thing is, you know, I have this site called Homegrown USA on Facebook, and I promote.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Ed promoting more organic and, you know, staying away from the Roundup induced seeds and stuff like that. And, you know, try and get people back to healthy. I mean, like Ed says, peppers are healing, you know. As far as being able to take the heat goes, I can take the heat too. What people always try and do is they use dairy or whatnot, but it just kind of milds it out for a little bit. I think if you really want to take the heat out, open up one of them little sugar packets and sprinkle that on your tongue. It takes the heat right out. And Ed was saying that he gets the discomfort from eating the peppers. What to do is drink a big glass. When you feel that, drink a big glass of water. It'll spread it out, and it'll soothe you out. But like Ed says, the peppers are very healing. I mean, cayenne itself chokes off the oxygen to cancer, you know.
Correct.
And so there are health benefits in eating hot peppers. I mean, he was saying about how, you know, he likes to see the people throw up. Me too. That's pretty cool. But my thing is when I'm pureeing the peppers, I tell the kids, don't worry about gloves. You're just gonna spread it with the gloves. And I have a couple of kids that work for me. They're about 19, 20 years old. And he comes up and he's like, Eddie, my hands are burning. I was like, here, let me take a look at him. And his hands are like all red from like pureeing the peppers and getting splattered all over them and stuff. And I go, yeah, okay. Don't worry about it. That'll go away in a few days. And, you know, try not to touch yourself in any place that's really going to hurt you.
Keep your hands
above
the ground.
My motto is wash your hands before going to the bathroom.
Yes.
And now, sure. It feels good at first.
Yeah, exactly. Well, guys, we got to run because we've got our next guest coming up, who's going to be talking about bacon. We appreciate you taking time to be on our show this morning. And Tucker Butt, Ed, keep us posted when you come out with some of those new products. I'm very interested in that popcorn and how that moves along. And Hoboken Eddie, all I can say is when you go out in your garden doing whatever you do, just be careful of the cucumbers and, you know, and speaking of Pucker Butts. And everybody, we're gonna take another break, and we appreciate you guys coming on. Check out their websites again. It's PuckerButtPepperCompany.com and also HobokenEddies.com. You can see the links on our show page here. Everybody, hang tight. I'm gonna take another break here. We're gonna play Dwayne Spa, who's coming on later. His song is called, what's one we wanna do? Outlaw and Us All. Everybody, take care. We'll be right back.
Look at that peekaboo, Sally got a tattoo underneath a business skirt. Preacher got a fire red turbo pan head, holler that he rides to church. Here they got a set of sunglasses in a coal black muscle car, but he ain't no farm boy.
He'll be our guest later on today. And Laurie, are you still there? I think you said you had to leave, right?
I'm still here. I just wanted to hold on to say goodbye because it kind of got cut off with the music, and I wasn't sure if you heard me.
Well,
so I didn't want to just hang up on you.
Yeah, we know you've got things that are more important than the radio show. So thank you for joining us with the food news this morning, and have fun doing whatever you're going to do. Me and Hank, Bob, Aaron, we'll take it from here.
Okay, great. Bye, guys. Have a great weekend.
Bye, Laurie.
All right, Hank, Bob, Aaron, I didn't get a chance to say hello to you because I had everything lighting up here and I was pushing buttons, didn't know who was who. What are you doing this
that
morning?
Crazy, man. 90 people show up at one time. That was awesome.
What's going on in Florida this morning?
Not a whole lot, man. Beautiful weather. Kind of hanging out and piddling around the house today. Doing a whole lot of nothing.
I understand. You're an expert at that, aren't you?
I wish I was an expert at a whole lot of nothing. Here lately, it's been a whole lot of everything other than what I want to do.
I got to talk to you real quick about something that we didn't talk about because we had technical difficulties last week. But you went to the big show over there with Emily Ellen. Tell all the listeners about what happened, what you did.
Well, Emily Ellen, I don't know if everybody knows, was on Cupcake Wars. And her and her team, they actually won their episode of Cupcake Wars. It was kind of a viewer's choice where they got voted back onto the show and then ended up winning their episode. So we got to go to this big victory party and watch the viewing and kind of hang out with Emily, and it was really awesome.
Cool.
It was just a really good time, man.
You were hobnobbing with the Food Network folks, weren't you?
No, there were no Food Network folks there.
Well,
we
didn't practice this. You're supposed to say yes.
No. I'm supposed to, but it did lead me down the path of talking with a couple of great people who may be very interested in coming on as a guest. And there's one guy who just kind of picks out restaurants for Delta. On what restaurants they want to include in their Sky Mile program. So this whole job is just kind of traveling around and sampling different restaurants. It was a good, fun time, man. Now, here's the thing, and I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, because if Emily hears it, she might punch me in the face. Emily has a really awesome boyfriend. And her boyfriend, I kid you not, is an exact doppelganger. I mean, it is Dana Carvey's doppelganger. Hands down, 100%, exactly like the dude.
So Emily Ellen is dating a guy who looks like Dana Carvey.
Looks like the church lady. That's right.
Well, she probably is going to punch you in the nose over that one. But yeah, you were hobnobbing. I saw the photographs, and you were hanging out with the fancy folks. It must be nice. But you know, I'll sit here up here on top of the mountain, running the radio show, and you enjoy yourself out there in the fancy world.
Hey, did you see that? I even ran into Tonda from Tonda's Kitchen.
Yeah, I saw that. Like I said, you're just a social butterfly.
Well, that I am. You put four glasses of wine in me, and I'm going to social butterfly my way around any room. I can promise you. That's pretty much the way it went.
Well, if you guys want to see photos of my sidekick while he was hobnobbing, we have him on Facebook, and he had a good time. We appreciate Emily Ellen supporting our show and coming on here and also inviting you to the premiere party. And she's always a hoot when she comes on the show. In fact, she'll be coming on the show again probably sometime in early May to talk about her film, what's going on with that, and some other things. So, now that we have wasted some time, I'm going to bring on our next guest. He's probably sitting there saying, hey, dude, I'm on the phone. Come on, pick up the phone. We've got a guy, and basically this is your topic, Aaron. You probably know more about this than I do, possibly. This guy, he's got a food truck. It's called Bacon Bacon. And what he does, of course, what do you think he sells on this truck there, Aaron?
Ice cream.
Yeah, it's probably bacon flavored though. But we got the guy coming on here from Bacon Bacon. He's got a food truck in San Francisco. If I can push the button here, I should have him. Let me see here. Come on, baby. His name is Jim Angelus from Bacon Bacon. Jim, are you there? Good morning.
Good morning. Dude, pick up the phone. I'm here. And to clarify, what? I'm vegan.
You're vegan.
Vegan,
no,
vegan.
Oh,
you got the wrong Jim Angelus.
Welcome.
Good morning,
to the
guys.
Bacon, man, I tell you what, when I saw your videos and saw your site and heard what you were doing, we said, we got to have this guy on the show because that's all we usually talk about. It. Somewhere along in the show, every week, there's bacon comes up. So you are the man. So how are you doing and how's it going in bacon world?
Wow, bacon is awesome. It's like the dream job. I never thought I would be the guy driving the truck around. You know, it's like the ice cream truck for adults. You know, it's great. Here's the deal. The truck in November caught fire. It was
right.
Not a grease fire. It was totaled. And I'm picking up my new truck on Tuesday of this week. I'm living in San Francisco. I'm going down to Orange County, picking up my brand new truck. But I also have a little cafe in San Francisco called Bacon as well that helped me over in the meantime. So.
All right. Well, yeah, I saw that the thing had caught on fire. So what caused the fire?
You know, it was the engine just blew up. I'm really not good with engines and car stuff, and, you know, that's not my world. The engine blew up. We were driving up the hill. It started to smoke. I heard a loud noise and pop. And the guy sitting next to me is like, dude, there's flame. And we bailed out. And I grabbed the fire extinguisher and I started spraying it down, and it was to no avail. And it just went up, and it smelled really good, but my life was in flames.
Well, you can actually see the truck. You took a photograph of the truck fully in flames. If everybody want to check it out, his website is www.baconbaconsf.com, and literally the truck just completely was gone, right?
It was gone. Yeah, it was total. And, it was – now I can look back and laugh. It was a sad, you know, scary, you know, day and hours. And, you know, the scary part was there's a huge propane tank on there. And thank God the firemen responded really quickly. And it did not, it didn't explode necessarily. But it was totaled. A great lesson for small business owners. Get insurance. Get lots of it. And – you know, I was lucky enough that I had, you know, great coverage, and it's held me over until, you know, like I said, I'm building a really nice custom food truck that I've been posting pictures on our Facebook as well. And I'm picking it up, like I said, on Tuesday. So
great!
I can't wait to get back in the road. The cafe is great. We do all the food truck items there, but you know, there's something that's extremely exciting about driving this thing into different spots and cities.
Well, you said earlier it was like an ice cream truck for adults. I just picture you riding down a road with bacon truck and like adults coming out of their offices running behind you trying to track you down. Do you have like a little bell that you ring, or like a pig horn or something?
We do have a pig horn, and you know what else? Besides people that chase us down the block, dogs. We have a huge following in the canine community. They can sniff us out of anywhere. So it's like dogs and people chasing the truck.
Well, what's some of your specialties on the bacon truck?
You know, the grilled cheese we make has been extremely popular. We make a bacon jam. I mean, it's, you can call it a bacon jam or bacon chutney. It's a reduction of bacon, coffee, onions, garlic, cider vinegar. You know, it's a 3-hour reduction, and then we put it in the Robo-Coo and spin it, and then we add that plus bacon and Tillamook cheddar cheese, and then we just let the thing do its melting and get out of the way. And that's really popular. The fried chicken sandwich is extremely popular as well, because I take cooked bacon and I grind it in a coffee grinder.
Right.
And I add it to panko, so it's like breading. And then we take the chicken breast and we coat the chicken in the ground panko and bacon and a little flour.
Wait, you gotta stop. You gotta stop.
I need 2 seconds just to think about this for a second. Oh, okay, continue. Sorry.
Okay. So, and then we wrap it in bacon because there's not enough bacon in there. And then we bake it, and then we just deep fry it to order for 45 seconds to crisp it up. And then we put it on a bed of bacon mayo and some spicy slaw. And, you know, that's like my staff favorite. That's the one that, the you know, everyone recommends the most. But the bouquet is 6 strips of bacon. You know, you can just come up and order a bouquet of bacon, and that's, you know. I could go on and on about our menu. You
well,
tell,
okay,
I
you, got,
love
you, got
what
I do. You got chocolate-dipped bacon too, right?
We do. We have chocolate-dipped bacon with, we put different candy toppings on it, everywhere from, like, Heath bars to Butterfingers. When the Girl Scout cookie thing was going on, we crushed up Thin Mints and put those on top, and it was really good. Like, I don't want to be that novelty food truck that, you know, doing just bacon stuff to do it. Like, I want to make sure it tastes good, and it tastes really good. It's the salty sweet thing.
So when are you expanding your franchise to Jacksonville, Florida? I need you to remember that. Jacksonville, Florida. Yeah.
Coming this fall, you'll hear some, I think we're going to have some opportunities to grow this bacon thing. And no, I'm looking to expand. And
man.
It's franchise or
it.
Whatever it is. It's just, you know,
well,
I want to get it out there.
We know somebody in Florida who will be probably standing in line first, huh, Aaron?
First of all, I will track you down no matter where you're at in town every day for a bacon grilled cheese or bacon fried chicken sandwich. I'm not even supposed to eat sandwiches, but I'm going to come find you. Unfortunately, I'm not in San Fran, so I can't get that today, but yeah.
That's okay. I would love it. Like, I've been trying to convince my wife that next year's vacation is the bacon truck with, like, you know, a Winnebago behind us, and we just, you know, tour the country, you know?
You know, I mean, that's the thing, man. Tour the country with that and just go all over. That would be huge.
Hey, Tom, awesome. I got a great idea, a brilliant idea. You do that, and we'll set up the radio show. We'll just have a rolling reporting bacon show across the country.
Can we get Dwayne? Is that his name? The music that I was listening to while I was waiting to get on.
Yeah.
Can he play with us? Because that guy was awesome.
Yeah, we probably can get Dwayne. Dwayne's coming on in a little bit, and we'll talk about that. Maybe we can get Dwayne. We'll have him back in the back on like a stage, pulling a trailer to the stage singing. And then, yeah, we can put this together. I think if you pay us bacon, we'll probably do it.
All right. I'm in. Let's do it.
Hey, I have to ask now, of all places, are you from San Francisco, first of all? Is that where you're?
I've been here 12 years. I, you know, born in New York City, raised mostly in Connecticut. I lived in Chicago for a while after college. But I think I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, I mean, when you said earlier when we started the interview, you said vegan. I mean, my God, dude, could you have picked the worst city in the world to start your bacon truck?
Well, dude, if you can make it here with bacon, I think it's like proof that you can do this thing anywhere. You know, so my sister owns a restaurant out in Sag Harbor in Long Island, out in the Hamptons. And she, you know, she and I talk restaurant stuff all the time. And she, before I pulled the trigger, she's like, Jim, I'm just worried about San Francisco being so health conscious and organic this and, you know, veggie that. Are you sure? And I was like, I'm pretty sure. And I had an idea. I was hoping it would be successful, and I couldn't have predicted the, you know, amount of success we've had. It's been amazing. And
well, that's great.
People, you know, they are still conscious about what they eat, and, you know, we use great ingredients. We do use the local stuff, and, you know, all the pigs are raised properly and no hormones, and the beef is grass-fed, all natural, and our burgers. So all that stuff is going on around the bacon.
Right.
You know, so we make really good sandwiches. And
I just picture picket signs around your truck with naked women.
Well, yeah, you know, it hasn't happened. You know, here's the deal. When I was thinking about this, I've worked in restaurants. I've run restaurants. I've been a part of restaurants my adult life, you know, 20-something years. I'm 40, in my 40s. I
at every restaurant, like, it was the fried calamari or the fried fritters or, the, you know, the most unhealthy thing on the menu is always the most popular thing. Like, when you look at your product mix the next day.
Right.
You know, you can put on the foo-foo, you know, veggie roasted asparagus with, you know, a lemon whatever sauce. But at the end of the day, people are out eating. They're going to indulge.
True.
And, you know, we're people's guilty pleasure, you know. We have vegetarians and Jews eating a bacon, you know it's going to be a good thing.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Do you have just for those special diet folks, do you have a bacon-flavored tofu burger with kale chips? I mean, just wondering if you had something.
Can I say hell? Hell no! No way!
Oh, I love this guy.
My neighbor at the cafe is one of the neighbors is vegetarian and vegan, and she's like, Jim, will you bring in some blah, blah, blah bacon for me, and I'll come eat at your shop? And I was like, Delilah, I love you, but I'm just not doing it. Like, I'm sorry. I won't do it. It's not bacon. You know, people say turkey bacon. I'm sorry, that's not bacon. Tofu bacon, not bacon. Bacon.
Bacon. The man is nothing but bacon. I love it.
No compromise.
This might be my absolute all-time favorite segment ever on the show.
Yeah. For some damn reason, I've got craving for bacon. How about you, Aries?
I cooked 2 pounds of bacon this morning. I'm going back and starting the fryer right back up.
We have an awesome new item coming up for the summer, too, that you guys should try. Because if anyone can make – if I can make this stuff, anybody can do it. But so we took I made chocolate chip cookies. So instead of butter, right, you use bacon fat, obvious.
Right.
And we use chocolate chips, but then we also use candied bacon, right?
Right.
So candied bacon, chocolate chip cookies. Now, in San Francisco, we have this thing called It, and they're, like, known for ice cream sandwiches. So we, based on that idea, we took the candied bacon chocolate chip cookie, put vanilla ice cream in the middle, dunk the vanilla ice cream in candied bacon, sandwich between these cookies, and then dunk it in chocolate.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So that you can see that. We just put that one on our Facebook and our webpage and all that stuff. That's a new.
So you're picking up the new truck, you said Tuesday, and so when will she back be actually on the road selling more bacon?
Probably the week after. I'm looking to open on that next Wednesday. I think that's May 7th, right around there.
Okay.
And then it's full steam ahead. So the deal with the old truck was I couldn't get out of the city much and do a lot of events because it was an old 1986, you know, food truck, but it was a piece of work, gentlemen. And it had a tough time getting places. We would get towed into places. I would, yeah, everywhere from a flatbed to a tow truck, that truck, you know, we would get there. If I said we were doing an event, I'd get there, but it was tough. So this truck is, you know, it's a 2006, totally gutted. It was an old potato chip delivery truck, brand new everything, new engine, and it's going to make the rounds. So it'll be truly a Bay Area truck instead of just a San Francisco truck.
Fantastic. Well, you've got two guys here that want to find out more about your bacon trip, especially if you go across country. I think you need some folks to go along. You know, you need taste testers and all that type of thing. And
well, I might need
up.
Some line cooks.
There you go. Hey, I can fry some bacon now.
All right. That's cool. Hired. That's one of the rules on the truck. If the guys, like, if, you know, when we're busy, we got a bunch of guys cooking or gals, and I'm just like, if you forget an ingredient item, just add more bacon. They'll forgive us. And that's our rule.
If anybody's in San Francisco, check out Bacon, and you'll find where you park your truck. Where will they find you once you get everything,
you know,
back up and running again?
Yeah, go to our website because we don't stay in one spot. We're like on a biweekly rotation. We, you know, kind of go to the same place every other Wednesday or every other Thursday or every other Friday. You can always go to the cafe, which is in the Upper Haight. And it's great. I love the cafe. It's a great little busy, you know, shop. But there's something about eating off the truck that just more fun, you know.
Check it out. And his website, it's baconbaconsf.com, and the man is all about bacon. And I just found a great song, Dwayne Spa, the guy's coming up next after we move to the next segment. The song is called I'm Your Biggest Fan, and obviously, Jim, you've got Aaron and me, we're your biggest fan when it comes to bacon. Thank you for joining us this morning, and keep us posted on your developments and let us know how things are going. And we're going to play Dwayne Spa, I'm Your Biggest Fan. Everybody,
thanks,
hang tight.
Guys.
Dwayne will be joining us in a shortly. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I climb out of the truck and the first thing that hits me is the smell of the grills in the midday heat. All the cars and trucks with their tailgates down, it's like a three-ring circus rolled into town. I've been waiting all winter for the tour to begin. Another summer of fun with my family of friends. So when the sun goes down and the lights come up and I look out over the crowd, you can bet I'll be standing there in awe of you, hoping I do you proud. It's because of you I get to do what I do, so give yourself a hand. Hey, I'm proud to say I'm your biggest fan. God, thank you for giving me all of this to come home to. Then I take the stage and do my songs. Y'all help me out when you sing along. And I'm thinking that I don't ever want this to end.
Chicken right now.
Doesn't that sound good?
Oh, dude. Oh, I can only imagine. Like, just pounding out a chicken breast and making a nice chicken tender sandwich with bacon, panko, breading on it, and just big slice of tomato.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, it was like listening to food porn. I mean, with everything he was describing, I was like, oh, my God.
I had to stop him because it was becoming an overload, and I thought I was going to pass out. So I had to stop him for just a second, just so that I could clear my head.
Hey, dude, did you see the Facebook pages last night?
I saw that one post right before I was going to bed. I saw that one post.
And it was hilarious.
We got to do that What's in the Pantry series. And for those who don't know what we're talking about, Aaron and I have been talking about it, and I think we're going to do it. We're going to come out with a video series called What's in the Pantry. We were going to call it Coming Out of the Pantry, but that was a little risky. So we're going to, I think, what's in the Pantry or something like that, where we just take – we don't know what's going to be in the pantry, and then we have to make a meal using the ingredients. And I did find out last night that it's real tough to make a recipe using onions and bananas. But I did come up with an idea later that I think it'll work. But we got to do that video series. I think sometime in June or July we need to put that together. I think it's a hit show in the making.
Oh, dude, you can make a great gravy with onions and bananas. Just saying. But, yeah, it would be a great series. It would be something awesome. It would be Bachelor Chopped, you know. It's one of those things where if you're a bachelor, but you want to make a cool little meal out of whatever you've got handy, hey, this is
exactly
your show.
Exactly. We need to do that, and I think it's something that we actually probably ought to do on Facebook. I'm thinking about starting a whole new weekly series where we give people, you and I had talked about this before, give people several ingredients, and then let them tell us what they made with the different items that we post. So I think I might start that maybe today or tomorrow, just post four or five different random items that would be in the pantry that everybody would have, like Captain Crunch and Rice Krispies and milk and cheese and Velveeta and that kind of stuff.
Well, that'd be awesome. I'm going shopping as soon as we're done here. So, yeah, that'd be perfect. I'll go pick up whatever you post. And I'll give you a recipe, what's in the pantry, option out of whatever you put up there.
All right, we're going to do that. Speaking of Cap'n Crunch, I made fried chicken one time using Cap'n Crunch.
I've done it. I've used every kind of cereal you can imagine making fried chicken.
It was actually turned out pretty good, so I think we need to do that and start our little series and have our little video, and I think you might have to pull Hank Bob out of the closet, no pun intended.
Hank Bob will be there. That's for certain.
Well, I think our next guest is coming on here in a second here. He's Dwayne Spa, and if you've been listening to the show, we've been playing some of his music while the show's been playing. Great, great country music singer, and I love his stuff, and I'm going to play another one of his songs here, and then we're going to bring Dwayne Spa on. The next song I want to play is called Home Sweet Home. Everybody hang tight, and we'll be right back with Dwayne in just a few minutes.
I remember dirt roads and long hot summers, old creeks and old cane fishing poles, drinking whiskey with my brother when he was 15, I was 12 years old. And we both liked Jenny Johnson. She just lived down the way. It's been a lot of miles and years ago, but to me, it seems just like yesterday. Apple pie in the kitchen window, Daddy saying bow your heads in prayer. All these things I could depend on, I thought they'd always
My brother took a job outside of Memphis. Me, I took a train to New Orleans. Now beneath the concrete, steel, and fences stands a country boy who wishes he could be.
There was a small little rodeo company there in Western Tennessee, and they were doing some rodeos at Loretta Lynn's ranch, and I approached them about playing, you know, a concert or two, and they kind of, you know, at first they were kind of like, hey, yeah, we already had a little girl and her dad asking and whatever. Well, I gave them the CD, and a few days later they called back and said, you know what, that sounds really good. You know, what would you charge? And so we worked out the whole deal, and I played the first rodeo I ever did was with Loretta Lynn's ranch at Hurricane Mills there, Hurricane Mills, Tennessee. And from that, it just kind of grew. I went online and started finding other rodeo companies, joined the International Professional Rodeo Association, joined the PRCA, Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association, as a contract act, and started performing at a lot of rodeos. And then from rodeos, went into fairs. Now I do demolition derbies, tractor pulls. You know, I have a truck and trailer rig that all the sound's on board, and I just pull the thing right in front of the grandstand. It's all on the trailer, and
see,
I perform.
Now, you're all set for that bacon tour.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, let me tell you, I'm totally mobile. I can pull in anywhere with this truck and trailer, you know, and just play right there. I mean, I don't have to – there's no setup. There's no tear down. I mean, I do set and tear down, but there's nothing – you know, I can pull right into an area. – I've done a lot of Walmart concerts and, you know, that kind of stuff. We do that stuff pretty much all summer long.
Wow. You said demolition derbies, they still do those, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's probably a county fair's biggest money maker is demolition derbies. Because it costs very little money to put them on. And, you know, they, of course, you know, pay the entry fees. And they pack the grandstands every single night. I mean, and no matter where you're at. I have done demolition derbies in Nebraska to Pennsylvania to Michigan to Florida, and it don't matter. They pack them in. So.
Well, I didn't know. Of course, I live here in La La Land in California, so they probably got some law against demolition derbies here for some reason. They probably killed some lizard or something, but I didn't know they still did that.
Well, you know, I tell you, it's getting a little harder because it's harder to find full-size cars now. When they did that, you know, cash or clunker thing, that took a lot of cars off the market. I mean, literally, it took a lot of cars away that people that would end up, you know, turn into the junkyard and, you know, getting $50 for, and then a demolition derby guy come along and buy the car. A lot of those cars went into the dealerships and they recycled them and whatever. So a lot of the big cars, they're having a hard time finding big cars. So now they're starting to do small cars. They're starting to do lawnmower derbies. Yeah, that's crazy. they're starting to do pickup truck derbies. I mean, you name it. I mean, they're figuring out whatever they can. Mini cars.
You're talking like riding lawnmowers.
I'm talking riding lawnmowers. They have to have a cage on them. They have to weld a bumper like all the way around them, you know. And then, man,
right.
They slam things. It's crazy. We're in Redneckville over here.
Hey, it doesn't matter as long as the stands are full and the people buy the CDs. Who cares what they're crashing on?
Well, that's right. That's right. And, you know, I get the nice thing about the shows I do, I have a built-in crowd. I mean, I've already got people there. You know, sometimes, depending on the place, anywhere from 2,500 to 8,500, you know, 10,000. I play Vandenberg County Fair in Evansville, Indiana, and there was like 7,800 people there, you know. It's just, you know, almost 10,000 people and in the grandstands for this demolition derby. It's pretty crazy.
Interesting. Now, I was looking over your website, which, by the way, I'll mention right now, it's www.dewaynespa.com. How many different CDs do you have now?
Well, I have one that will be coming out here soon, and that will be number 9 or maybe number 10. I've kind of lost track. over the years, I've released, I think it's 10. I think this latest one's 10.
Wow.
And starting today was last year's project. And That's my most recent one, but then I got a new one coming out in June. So.
And what's the new one called?
It's called Let the Cowboys Rock.
Let the Cowboys Rock. And I was reading about your bio, and it kind of goes along with what you've been talking about. You've kind of concentrated in your music, kind of things that just experiences that you have in life, and you go to events where people can relate to your music and understand what you've been going through, and been kind of concentrated on fairs and festivals instead of the bars. And I think you got a built-in audience because everybody kind of lives what you're saying in your songs.
Right, right. Yeah, you know, and to me, I've always felt like, and I think it's probably true for most people, you can sing with the most heart about something that you know. You know, it'd be very hard for me to sing about, you know, inner city life because I've never lived in the inner city. I'm a country boy through and through, born and raised on a farm in southern Indiana, so it would be very hard for me to sing about, you know, living in the streets of Chicago or, you know, New York or something like that.
Right.
At the same time, it'd be very hard for someone who lived in Chicago to sing about living on a farm. You know, I mean, it's something that you know and it's something that you experience in your life. And then, of course, the thing I love about country music, too, is it's story music. You know, it's storytelling.
Right.
You know, it really tells a story, and it's an opportunity to really tell a story of your life or something that happened or something that a lot of people can relate to, you know?
Well, I'm going to play another one of your songs of How About You, and while we're playing a song, I bet you're a barbecue guy, aren't you?
Oh, man. I just bought a new grill 4 days ago.
All right, well, I tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to play your song, How About You. When we come back, let's talk about grilling, and you can tell us some of your favorite things to grill, because my sidekick, Aaron, he's a big griller. He goes to these competitions, so you guys can swap recipes about grilling. So everybody hang tight. This is Dwayne Spa, How About You. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
I've been fishing in a lot of dry holes with a broken line on my fishing pole. Trying to catch a big love, but I just ain't had no luck. Well, it looks like we're in the same old boat. Brought the found your bottle with a little note. Saying you're lonely and almost out of hope. Been there for the longest time. Little house with a picket fence, with a whole lot of love and a whole lot of kids. How about you and I started brand new lives in our own little piece of paradise? I want to, oh baby, how about you? About you, I've
been fishing in a lot of dry holes, with a broken line on my fishing pole, trying to catch a big love.
And we are back, and that was Dwayne Spa. How about you? We've got Dwayne joining us this morning, and we're going to be talking about barbecue. But I have to say, I've been fishing in lots of dry holes myself there, Dwayne.
Well, I'll tell you, I have too, and I think I finally found my catch, though.
There you go. All right. Hey, Aaron, you still there?
Oh, you know it.
You know it. All right. Now, we're going to talk barbecue. And by the way, Dwayne, Aaron is a big-time barbecue guy. He goes out to these competitions and stirs it up for all the prizes. So you tell him how he's supposed to win some of these things, because he hasn't been doing too well lately.
Oh,
well, oh, yeah, we go to all the competitions. We don't bring anything home.
Well, about 4 years ago, I actually got to judge the Big Blue Barbecue competition in Marysville, Kansas. And
oh, wow.
I was one of the judges. They have to have so many, because it's a sanctioned event, so they have to have so many judges that were sanctioned. And, of course, they were just getting this started. Now I think all their judges are sanctioned,
right.
You know, they're official judges. But at that time they were just getting started, so I think they had, probably – two-thirds of them were licensed or official judges, and the rest of us were just guests. And, boy, I'm telling you what now, there's some good barbecue out there, man.
Well, since you were a judge, okay, now tell me the truth. The ones that have that $100 bill underneath the sample,
yeah.
they have a better chance, don't they?
Well, unfortunately, they snatched the $100 bill before they brought it to our table, so we never saw.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I knew that wasn't
going to
help me out.
Building, he'd take $100
bill. So, what's some of your favorite things to cook on the barbecue?
Oh gosh, I love chicken. I love beef, of course. So I love to make. I'm a ribeye guy. I love ribeye steaks. The other day, I actually posted a picture on Facebook. I made some Hawaiian pork skewers. And
yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I took pork. What's it called? like a pork loin, and sliced
right.
that up in little squares, cubed it, marinated in a Hawaiian marinade. I put an extra pineapple juice in there, and a little bit of Worcestershire sauce and all that good stuff. And I spiced it up a little bit myself, too, and then I marinated that overnight and then put it on skewers with the chunks of pineapple and green peppers and onions and mushrooms. And, oh, man, they were so good.
Well, I saw that. I don't know if you saw my post on Facebook. I called those shish kebabs.
Yeah, shish kebab. That's right. I like it. I like that. But they were really good. And then, of course, I love brats. Oh, my gosh. My German heritage, I guess, is showing, because I love brats. I love to soak them in beer overnight, you know, and let that flavor get in there. Of course, you know, it cooks off. We ain't getting
right.
drunk or anything here.
Right.
But, boy, those beer-soaked brats are so good. It just gives it a different flavor, you know. I love it, you know. So, and of course, you know, chicken. I think the key to really good chicken is marinating. You know, the marinade, and the longer you can let it marinate, the better. You know, if you can
right.
let it marinate overnight, whew, look out.
Now, are you
tender,
are you a
juicy, good flavor?
Are you a gas guy or are you a charcoal guy?
Well, I'll tell you, I love charcoal the best, but gas is easier. You know, it's a little harder for charcoal. Now, if I really want to get serious, charcoal all the way. You know, if I really want to get serious, I've got both. I've got a charcoal grill. I went and bought a new gas grill. So
okay.
If I really want to get serious, like if I'm doing ribeyes, it's charcoal. If I'm doing chicken or, you know, something, I made some shrimp the other night, and, you know, it's gas quicker and easier, you know, because I'm making it for dinner. Now, if I really want to spend time on it, charcoal all the way, because the flavor is 1,000 times better.
Well, Aaron, this is a stupid question probably, because I don't know much about these contests, but are you allowed to use gas in the contest?
Oh, no.
No, it's all charcoal.
No gas or electric. You can only use charcoal.
No gas.
Pellet. You can use pellet cookers or wood burning. There's no gas or electric.
Right. Yep. No gas. And I tell you, I also went to the Jack Daniel's Invitational Barbecue down in Lynchburg, Tennessee. And
that place is nuts.
Oh, it is. I bet 90% of the teams there were using those green eggs.
Green eggs are
definitely awesome. We have a Florida Barbecue Association team called Two Eggheads, and they strictly use Big Green Eggs for their cookers.
Yeah. Well, I bet 90% of the teams there weren't even using the traditional smokers. They were using those, and I figured it must be a very successful way to cook because almost everyone was doing it, you know. So,
well, Dwayne, what are your plans upcoming? You said you got the new CD coming out in, I think you said June, and what kind of festivals and Crash 'Em Up derbies are you going to be in over the summertime?
Well, let's see. I start out the season, I really get my season started in Brown City, Michigan. They have the Thumb Soybean Festival. The thumb is referring to the thumb of Michigan. If you look at Michigan, it looks like a mitt, you know. And
right.
The thumb is over there where Caro and Brown City and Sandusky, all those little towns are over there, Bad Axe. So it's the Thumb Soybean Festival. Then from there, I go to the Greene County Fair in Greensburg, Kentucky. I go to Oakland City, Indiana the next weekend for their community hog roast.
Wow.
And then I head to the St. Joseph County Fair in South Bend, Indiana. And after that, you'll have to look at the schedule because then it starts getting really crazy. I've got something pretty much almost every – well, I probably a few days off from there, but I'm bouncing around back and forth from Wisconsin to Kentucky to Nebraska, Iowa – I'm all over the place. So,
well, it sounds like you're a busy guy, and if people who are listening want to get your music, they can go to your website, I assume, DwayneSpa.com, but they can also find your music on all the big music websites.
Yes, it's on iTunes and Napster and Rhapsody and all the download sites it has. And you can purchase the CDs from my website, DwayneSpa.com. And
all right.
So yeah, you can if you spell it right, D E capital W A Y N E, Dwayne, and then the last name is S P A W. Type it in, and you'll find on any search, and you'll find it because it's out there.
Well, we're gonna have to touch base later and talk about this bacon cross country tour when we find out more details. And thank you for
awesome. We'll work for food.
Yeah, we'll work for food.
We'll work for bacon, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'll definitely work for bacon. Oh, man. You know, I have some friends in Greensburg, Kentucky. Every time I was there for the fair, they grill bacon on the grill as a little, as an appetizer to eat while they're cooking, you know, while they're making whatever, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And so we grill bacon on a grill in Greensburg, Kentucky.
Well, that is the way to do it. Well, we got to run here, Dwayne. Thank you for joining us, and keep us updated on your new CD. And you're welcome to come on the show and talk whatever you want to talk about, Crash Up Derby, barbecue, and our music if you'd like. Anytime, you're always welcome.
Great. Well, hey, thank you for having me on. Appreciate it. I really enjoyed it.
All right. Well, you're thank
welcome,
you.
Dwayne.
Take care. Nice talking to
all
you.
Right.
All right, everybody, check out Dwayne's website, dwaynespa.com, and we're running short on time here, so I'm going to hurry up and run through this real quick. Aaron, next week, all the way through June, we got all kinds of crazy things going on with big guests. I'm looking at the list. I'm not going to read it now. If people want to find out, I'm going to post it on Facebook. We've got one heck of a group of shows coming up with a lot of famous people and infamous people, too, if I look at the list. But
We want to thank everybody for keeping us at the top of the cooking category on Blog Talk Radio. We've had a good time over the last several months. The numbers keep going up, and thank you for all the listeners. Tell all your friends and your enemies and whomever that we're on every Saturday. And remember, too, you can always go back and listen to any of our shows. They're always on tape to go all the way back to September of 2000. And when did I start this thing? 2011? Yeah, I guess it was September 2011. So we're there if you want to listen to the old shows. And if I ever get off my fat ass, I'm going to put together a website, and we're going to be able to – you can go look and see what people we've had on the show and listen to the old shows. And, Aaron, you got anything else to add before I shut this thing down?
No, man, I'm going to cook some bacon. I think I'm going to make a bacon sandwich right now.
Yeah, I think bacon, that sounds like a good idea for me, too. I'm going to play a couple little ads and some music from Moonshine Bandit to close out the show. Everybody, join us again next Saturday. Thank you for joining us this Saturday, and we will see you next week.
Baxter's Original Premium Barbecue Supply, located at 115 10 Mile Road in Fitzgerald, is where you'll find all of your barbecue supplies in one place. They have competition-grade barbecue sauces, high-quality specialty rub. Baxter's is the home of Komodo Joe ceramic grills, which are better than the Big Green Egg. Shop online at www.baxtersoriginal.com or visit Baxter's Original Premium Barbecue Supply at 115 10 Mile Road or call 229-425-6583.
Is your website missing that extra zing? Do you need a radio commercial? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then I can help you. Hello, I'm Christopher Trimble, and I am a voiceover artist. I offer these great services: website intros, corporate presentations, audiobooks, radio commercials, and much, much more. Check out my site, www.christophertrimble.com, or you can call 407-556-5506. Once again, that phone number is 407-556-5506. Making noise since 1970.
Table now, break that bottle now, drink, 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 drink. I could raise some hell and I could do it well. Ain't nothing to a boy that could dump a few shells. Going back in the back, old Jack in the sack, head hitting on the dash while holding hair back. Now I'm Johnny Cash rapped and he loved this track. Tell mama I'm a rebel, thank Hank for that. Tell mama I'm a rebel, thank Hank for that.
Well, we jumped in our truck for a midnight ride, and we're heading to the bar to drink some beer.
Drink some beer.
Yes, we're heading to the bar. Well, we've been known not to walk the line. We stumble damn near every night. Or us some whiskey.
Whiskey, whiskey.
We want some whiskey.
Whiskey, whiskey.
Whiskey River set me free.
On the table now, break that bottle now, drink, 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 drink. Hey waitress, go ahead and get me some, but if it ain't about whiskey, don't bring me none. And I ain't walk the line, cause I'm a rebel, son. I'm a tattooed redneck outlaw.
Well, we jumped in our truck for a midnight ride, and we're heading to the bar to drink some beer.
Drink some beer.
Yes, we're heading to the bar to drink some beer.
Drink some beer. Drink some beer.
Shot, two shot, three shot, four. Raise your glass and hit the dance floor. Now put them
some on my tab and give me four more. One beer, two beer, three beer, four. Now whiskey, women gon' treat me right. I'ma raise a little hill till I see a little light. I get kicked out of bars almost every night because I live these songs that I write.